Guys, I want to welcome you out to the Chicago International Christian Church Campus Retreat.
Yeah.
You spoke to the master.
Yeah.
I came all the way from New York just to welcome you guys. Tonight,
yeah.
And man, I'm so fired up. I'll need my Bible.
Amen.
Right now, a good sign someone gets up to preach a lesson not from the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
We'll definitely need that. Well, I'm so excited to be here with you guys, and I'm so excited for this weekend. We are so privileged to have so many people in town with us, worshiping God with us,
Amen.
Helping to sharpen us, and we're so excited to be able to learn how to be useful to the Master.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2.
Come on, man.
2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, throughout the ages, God has had a plan for His people.
Right.
Noah, God used him to build a mighty ark, that God would sweep over the earth. And He used that man to build a mighty ark in which the whole world, the 8 people, would have been saved.
Amen.
Abraham, God used his example as a precedent for the faith that would be to come in each one of us. God used him.
Yes.
Moses, God used him to lead a nation, even though he wasn't that great at speaking up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Even though he didn't have all the abilities, God used him.
Amen.
David, God used him to lead the armies of God. And even though he was the smallest of his family, God would use him.
Yes.
Jesus, God used him as a catalyst for eternity. And God would use his blood to be the last of all sacrifices, that we would no longer have to go to the tabernacle or to the high priest and sacrifice over and over. And He started a movement that would change history.
Amen.
God has always wanted to use men and women that are committed to Him. And yet so many people don't feel that way. They don't feel that way. They don't feel like, man, God used me today. They don't go to bed feeling like, man, God used His arm and moved me into someone else's life.
Wow.
People don't feel that way. People feel like their abilities are being used for the corporate machine. People feel like their abilities are being used in a political campaign or in the university setting. But so few people really find their efforts poured into God. And they can say, I gave all I got to God. But rest assured, guys, there's no political campaign, no matter who you're voting for. Don't matter what university you go to, doesn't matter what company you're working for, that has ever had the world-changing impact Jesus had. Are you guys fired up to learn about how to have that kind of impact?
Yeah.
All of you guys are fired up. Let's get into the Word here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some from ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the Master, and prepared to do any good work. You know, the Scriptures teach clearly that there are some things useful to the Master, and there are some things that are not. And, you know, whenever you're a disciple, you want to be used by God. You know, it's one of the best feelings in the world to be used by God. You just feel like God comes down and kind of just gives you a big old hug right there. And you just feel like, oh man, I helped that person.
Come on,
I helped change a life. I helped do something incredible. But so many people, that they're not feeling like that. And I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, do you feel like that tonight? Do you feel really used by God? I mean, we're disciples some of us, but we don't feel that kind of impact. I know I felt like that sometimes. Well, I don't have the kind of impact I want to have, and honestly, I feel like kind of a rusty tool at times. That, you know, maybe God looks at someone else and goes, well, they're ready for my use. That one, he's kind of rusty. I'm going to leave him in the toolbox. Have you felt like that? Not really used like you want to be? Guys, we're going to talk today how to be useful to the master. Let's go to our main text for today, Numbers chapter 31.
Come on,
Numbers chapter 31. Point number one. I got 3 points. I'll just give them to you right now.
Amen.
Point number one, zealous for the master. Point number two, purity because of the master. Point number three, commitment to the master.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 31. Let's read here. You know, guys, it's been so incredible. I hope you're studying the Old Testament. I hope you're diving into the truth of the Scriptures, the golden nuggets right there in the Old Testament. Guys, I hope you're grabbing it. I hope you're grabbing those truths of the Scriptures. Numbers chapter 31, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, take vengeance on the Midianites for the Israelites. After that, you'll be gathered to your people. Wow. Could you imagine that? God gives you one last command. He says, then you're going to be with me.
Amen.
One last thing. There's going to come a day.
Yeah.
There's going to come a day, guys, where you won't be able to have any more adventures.
Right.
No more journeys. There will come a day when we will all have to give an account to God. But he said to Moses, after a long life, he said, you do this thing, and you're going to be gathered to your people. Verse 3. So Moses said to the people, arm some of your men to go to war. He was ready, right? Against the Midianites. And to carry out the Lord's vengeance on them. Send into battle 1,000 men from each of the tribes of Israel. So 12,000 men armed for battle. 1,000 men from each tribe were supplied from the clans of Israel. Moses sent them into battle. 1,000 from each tribe, along with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, who took with him articles from the sanctuary and the trumpets for signaling. They fought against Midian, as the Lord commanded Moses, and killed every man. Among their victims were Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with a sword. Amen. The Israelites captured the Midianite women and children and took all the Midianite herds, flocks, and goods as plunder. They burned all the towns where the Midianites had settled, as well as their camps. They took all the plunder and spoils, including the people and animals, and brought the captives, spoils, and plunders to Moses and Eleazar the priest, and the Israelite assembly at the camp on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. What's the scripture? This is an incredible scripture if you'll really dive on into this. First of all, what's happening? The Midianites had been a thorn in the Israelite side for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And so God was saying, okay, Moses, your last charge. Those guys that have been giving you that tough time, it's time to take them out. I'm going to give you a last little nugget. Go out in glory, right? And so he gives them this charge. And we see in verse 2, take vengeance on the Midianites for the Israelites. Then Moses comes to the people and he says to them, in verse 3, so Moses said to the people, arm some of your men to go to war against the Midianites and carry out the Lord's vengeance on them. Do you see that right there, guys?
Yeah.
In the first verse, he says, take vengeance on the Midianites for the Israelites. And then in the next verse, he says, take vengeance on the Midianites for the Lord. So God's defending your interests. And Moses was defending God's interests. That's incredible. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Some of us ask, well, how come I'm not useful to God? It's because you don't got the same interests as God. That's really what it comes down to. And you're not really caring about what God cares about. You're caring about the things that don't really matter in life. You know, God is zealous for you. Do you believe that today? That He wants protection for you.
Yeah.
He wants you to be used. He wants you to have a fulfilling life like Moses had during those last glory days. He wants you to look back at your life and you say, I used the best years of my life for the best reason.
He
wants that for you. But so many people don't feel that way. And I want to ask you, why don't you have the interest of God in your heart? Because a lot of times, we're definitely interested in work.
That's right.
We're interested in school. We devote so much time and energy and passion to something that nobody will ever remember.
Yeah.
How many people do you know they're remembered for their salary? How many people do you know known for leading a company? How many people do you know that are remembered for the degree they got? I'll tell you, zero.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because those things, though important, do not change the world.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
And God wants more for each one of us.
Come on.
You know, God avenges us.
Yeah.
God was saying, you, I'm going to avenge you. It's time, and I'm going to be with you, and you're going to take the Midianites out. But then, Moses' heart is to avenge him. Fact of the matter is, he did not avenge himself. Moses could have went any time and said, all right, you guys are ticking me off. Let's go. Let's get everyone. We're going to go to war against them. But he didn't. See, the principle of God is that you do not avenge yourself, but only His honor. See, a lot of times when we're getting angry at somebody else, it's because we feel embarrassed, or we feel stupid, or we feel like, man, someone's attacking my honor. Let me tell you something. Moses did not care about his own honor. And some of us, let's be real, we just care about our own honor too much. That's why we don't share faith. That's why we're not really out there. We don't want to look bad. We don't want to look weird. We don't want to look strange. And so that's what starts happening. And then God goes, why are you defending yourself? I can't help you when you do that. I can't help you. I want to help you. If you'll avenge my honor, then I'll be at your right hand.
Come on.
And we'll have the same interests together. You know, your will should be God's will.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, you want to be useful to God, your will should be God's will. That's someone useful to God. You know, you should have the same standard of righteousness as God. It's not, hey, I'm perfect, but God's standard is you ought to be perfect. And so you're striving for that. So God's standard is being totally righteous, totally pure, always being about saving souls. Always being about encouragement. Brothers, encouraging the sisters on dates. Sisters, encouraging the brothers on dates. You know what? I can encourage somebody having some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with them. You know what I mean? It don't matter. Some of us, our attitude and our spirit is that we got to have a bunch of money. Let me tell you something. Jesus had nothing and everyone felt His power.
That's right.
Everyone felt His inspiration. Everyone felt the strength coming from His heart. If you made that excuse, you need to repent. You need to repent and have the interests of God.
Amen.
You know, it's like an employee. You know, if I go to work, and I go to work, and let's say I work at a Panera Bread, never done that before. But let's say I work at Panera Bread, right? And I'm flipping, you know, I'm like, oh man. He outed me on that one. Okay. So let's say I'm working there. You know what? What if I just said, I don't really care how much money we make, boss?
Wow.
Now, am I the best employee?
No.
I don't care how much money we make. I'm just here for my 8 hours, dude. But it's kind of a funny joke and everything. But let me ask you something. Would God say that same thing to you? You don't have my interest, so why would I use you?
Wow.
Why would I use you? A boss would not use an employee like that.
Yeah.
We're not raising. But yet, some of us don't have the interest of God. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You've got to have that spirit. And when you have that spirit and you unify with God's interest, maybe you need to get your interest in line in your purity. Maybe you need to get your interest in line in your pride. And what God considers prideful, you just plain don't think it's prideful. You just don't think it really hurts anybody. But God absolutely does.
That's right.
In His Word. You know, it was incredible because, Phinehas was zealous in everything. You know, one of the things about having zeal for the Master is when you have His interest, you are zealous. But let me put something before you guys. I was reading this passage and I didn't really get this the first time. You got to read the scriptures a couple times sometimes before God opens your mind to the scriptures. You know what I'm talking about? And so anyway, I was reading this passage and you got to look real close at what it says. Because remember, in the book of Numbers, who was the general? It was Joshua, right? And so when Moses died, Joshua would be the general. He would be taking care of the armies of God and leading them out. Do you see Joshua even heard about in this chapter? No. Who do you see? Phinehas. Now, this is weird. And why is it weird? First of all, Phinehas is not the high priest. So he's not even a second guy in charge. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? It's like one day you show up to work and you're like, yeah, you're manager for the day. You know, okay. Well, we can change things around here. That's what it was like with Phinehas. First of all, he was not the high priest. Eleazar was his dad. Isn't that crazy? Second of all, Joshua was the general. So why would Phinehas be leading the armies of God here? Why? Nowhere in the Old Testament do you find a priest leading the armies of God without the general there. You always see a general. You always see that. And then, man, Jesus is leading us. I put that before you. Why? Why did he do all that? Numbers 25.
Come on.
Let's go back a little bit earlier and let's see if we can't find why Phinehas was trusted with such a charge.
Yeah.
Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the man began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women who invited them to sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods. So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them.
Yeah.
The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to Israel's judges, each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor. Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped. But those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. The Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, for he was as zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. Therefore, tell him, I am making my covenant of peace with him. He and his descendants will have a covenant of lasting priesthood. He was zealous for the honor of God and made atonement for the Israelites. Wow, guys. Why was he leading the armies of God 5 chapters later? It's because he had the same heart of God. He had the same interest. He was zealous in the little things. And so God would trust him with the big things.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times we want the big things before we've been really trusted with little things.
Right.
A lot of times we want to have a lot more responsibility and we're not even really that great at what we're responsible for. I've been doing it. I've done it before. You know, where I want to be able to be on top of something, have more responsibility. But yet, we have not taken care and been zealous in the little things. And what does the Bible say here? The Bible says, Phinehas was a zealous as I am for my honor.
Amen.
Again, we're going back to a very simple concept. Do you have the attitude of God about things?
Come on.
Do you have the attitude about God? Because if you do, God goes, that's the person I want to use.
Come on, bro.
You got my attitude about purity. You got my attitude about saving the lost. You got my attitude about working hard for God. You got my attitude. He wants that spirit, and when you got that spirit, he goes, man, I want to use that tool. It's sharp. I want to use that in the evangelization of the world.
Amen.
He wants to use us, guys. And God was pleased because Phinehas felt how he felt.
That's right.
See, God is looking for men that feel the way he does about things.
That's right.
And that's the way you got to look. When you have a quiet time, it's not just about, hey, I woke up and the Bible's just kind of there and I read it and checked it off the list. No, you're looking for the heart of God.
Yep, come on, man.
You're looking for His heart. You're saying, what can I be different in? You know, anybody see The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
It was a hot movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you know, repent. But no. Okay. So The Dark Knight, you know, that's, I love that movie. You know, that movie was so awesome. You guys know the Joker in that movie?
Yeah.
Man, Heath Ledger played an incredible role as the Joker in that movie before his untimely death. And, you know, I was reading, you know, actors get into their role. they consume themselves. Many of them consume themselves in this role, trying to figure out a different person. And one of the things I was reading about the, you know, Heath Ledger, as he was preparing for this role, was he stayed in a hotel room for 6 weeks practicing the voice and the characteristics of the Joker. He read books about Arcane Asylum. He started practicing. He kept a diary as the Joker, and he had in the diary things that the Joker would laugh at, like AIDS. And he went through this, and he saw nothing. Nobody went into the room during these 6 weeks, and he tried to get himself into that character. He tried to focus. Many people say that's the reason that led to his demise. You know, and obviously there's probably some other attributes in there, but there was a commitment there, and you see it on the screen. You know, he plays an incredible role. Why am I bringing that up? Because you got to be zealous for God's honor like that. That's an acting role. That's an acting role. And some of us, I couldn't get someone to stay 6 weeks for just a simple thing for God because of the level of their commitment. Yeah, someone out there, hey, study the Bible with me for 6 weeks. Thanks, the devil.
Yep.
I got to be somewhere, right? Well, the Bible calls you. May I be so bold? I'm calling you. You got to have more commitment to God. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
You got to have more commitment, and you got to be with the Lord. Point number two, purity because of the Master. You know, this is an incredible passage. For many, many reasons. One of them being that you look at it and you gotta see the audacity of this man. The audacity for him to come in. And what was happening was women from the Moabites were coming over, sleeping with the Israelites, and then saying, well, you wanna go to church? In a sense. But it was worshiping a Moabite god. And they would bring him on over, and these women would bring him on over, and they would go, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm with you, or I guess I'll worship. And many men. It says there were so many men that plague had started among the Israelites. And the opposite sex had tempted them. And it was incredible. And Moses saw this was an epidemic. I mean, it says by the time this ended, 24,000 of them had died from this plague. I mean, that's an epidemic. And Moses here, he's like, man, what's going on? And he talks to God. And he says, man, I got to stop this. I got to stop the Moabites.
Yeah.
And so he issues a decree that, you know what? I know what will get rid of this. I'll make every leader an example. I'll make every leader an example, and everyone will see the leadership, and they'll go, dang, man, you're not even sparing the leadership. Snap, I need to repent, man. Let me tell you something. You want to be a leader, you got to have a high level of integrity in your life. But he did that. He issued this decree. And then, you know what Zimri does? Zimri, he's a leader. It says in the Bible, he's a leader of one of the tribes of Simeon. And he goes in, and guess what he does? He takes a woman, and he brings a Moabite woman, while everyone's crying out, saying, God, man, we messed up. Everyone's repenting. And then there's one man says, I ain't repenting. I ain't changing nothing. Some of you are just stubborn like that right now. I ain't changing nothing. I've been like that. I've been stubborn before. Just stubborn. I've been stubborn towards Chris. I've been stubborn towards Joe before. I've been stubborn to many of you, and I apologize for that. But you cannot be stubborn. This guy's stubborn. And he grabbed his woman's arm, and he took her into the tent and was going to sleep with her right before all the Israelites. A leader. Isn't that disgusting? How do you guys go, the audacity of this man? Guys, you got to see something. His action showed, one, he had no fear of God. You got to see that he thought he's too great to be punished. I'm a leader. It says he was a leader, and the girl he was with was a leader from the other tribe, from the Moabites. So he had two leaders that thought they were above the law. And then you saw that he didn't really care about his brothers. They were dying left and right, and it didn't really matter to him. He thought his sin didn't affect other people, right? And when you hurt God, you don't just hurt yourself, you hurt other people.
Right?
You know what's so incredible about this, guys, is evil is getting bolder these days.
That's right.
Evil is getting much bolder. This is a remarkable contest between who's going to be more bold.
Come on, bro.
You look at this and you go, wow, that's incredible. You know, evil is getting more bold, guys. I want you guys to really think about it. You know, I was going out to the grocery store, and Joel and many of us were actually, you know, we were coming back from Dominic's. And I don't know if you've seen an advertisement, Secret Obsession, but it has this ad on there. It's probably about 30 feet by 20 feet. And it shows basically a naked woman who's covering her breast. And it says Secret Obsession by Calvin Klein. And she's nude, you know. And she's turning away where it's legal, but she's nude. 30 by 20 picture, right on the wall. And I went by and I said, the audacity of some people. Does that hit you guys? Does that hit you? How many guys look at that and go, oh man, let me tell you something, and start thinking things. Mm-hmm. Pornography in their own mind. And some of you guys, we're so hard. Yeah. I'm so hard.
Yep.
Yeah, come on, Anthony.
Towards this.
Yep.
And the evil is getting bolder these days.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading in the a magazine, and I was looking at it, and I was reading this magazine. It is Your Chicago Magazine, and here's the title of the lesson here. You know, the magazine article. Greed is good. You know. And it says that on the front cover as well. It says that on the front cover. Greed is good, you know. And I looked at this, I said, man, how many people picked this up? And Satan just let them know what he thinks. And they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go to work. This is good. I'm going to go to work. Like the Matrix, you know. Mindless. Okay, so what am I bringing this all up for? You guys should be shocked at the lewdness. These people don't shame. They don't blush. They don't flinch.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They don't. You know, friends right now, they don't flinch at sin. Mm-hmm. They accept it. They'll sleep with anybody. And they'll come to you with a smile on their face the next day. Why am I sharing this? Because you gotta be more bold than that. Because if the enemy is going to come to you with boldness, Phineas was going to command the armies of God with equal boldness.
That's right.
And guys, there's a great contest happening right now. There's a spiritual warfare happening right now that many of us are not involved in.
Yeah.
We are not there yet, and we are not fighting the forces of evil.
That's right.
And it's not this kind of, you know, Halloween kind of, I got pitchfork, and you know, it's seriously, people do not have the right mindset.
Yeah.
You gotta have the courage to purify.
Yeah.
You gotta have the courage to purify.
Yeah.
We see here, Phineas had the courage to be alone. You're gonna be alone when you do this.
Yeah.
People are gonna be like, well, that's a big deal, dude. Just naked girl up there, no big deal, man. And when you start going, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
People are gonna go, dude, you're weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
You don't sleep with anyone? That's weird. You know? What? You don't cheat on the test? That's weird.
That's right.
You know, people are going to think you're weird. People, well, some of us are just weird anyway. You know, but, you know, you're going to be absolutely weird when you start standing up for conviction. And the Bible says right here, you know, you look in here and it says, Moses gave the command to everyone. It says he told all the leaders to make examples of the leaders. How come no one else shish kebab these two?
Right.
And that's what he did. He took a half pike or a spear and slammed it into these two, and then the guy thought he was going to have a good old time. Bam! Both of them. And the judgment of God came upon them.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
Wow.
He was not good, too good to be punished. And so, I put before you guys, why was he the only one? Why? Why is there only one person in that whole nation that's willing to be bold? When so many people are willing to be bold in our schools. So many people are willing to be, you know, bold in our network. and invite us to whatever party, that however much sin's there. God, I hope this is hitting your heart.
Yeah.
I hope it is. Yeah, my desire, and I know God's desire, is to see this world won. He wants to see this room bigger. He wants to see more students following Him, being bold for Him and His heart.
Amen.
He wants that. He wants that. But do you want that?
Come on, bro.
Because it's easy to come from a lesson like this and go, oh man, yeah, I need to get on it, man. Plus, it's going to be a lot harder. A couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months.
That's right.
To every day when you're on that train, share with the guy and be more bold. It's going to take more effort from each one of us.
That's right.
The real leaders act on their convictions.
Right.
Period. They act on their convictions. And there's not a pride. You don't have to, you know, slap stuff. You can come, you can be bold and gentle at the same time, guys.
Amen.
There's absolutely, there's not a confrontation between the two. You can be absolutely bold and totally meek in your heart and gentle and say, dude, you got to change. I love you, but you've got to change. And you can be gentle and you can put it out before them and they got to grab it. The courage to be personally righteous. You know, it takes courage to be personally righteous. I want to ask you guys today, what character sins have you not taken care of? What things are still hampering you that you've not really dealt with? Maybe there's pride and you really haven't dealt with it. Maybe there's impurity, but you really haven't dealt with it. You know, we're not going to turn there, but back in 2 Timothy, remember, to be useful to the master, you cleanse yourself from the ignoble things. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
And so the Bible says, you've got to do it to be useful to the master. Because when you do, then God goes, "There, that's perfect. That's a perfect tool. Yeah, they messed up. But let me tell you something. Jesus' blood covers over that. And when you're trying your best,
that's right.
And that's all God asks for.
Come on.
Trying your best.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't have to beat yourself up. When you go to bed and you gave your best, you don't have to beat yourself up. You can go, I did my best for you, God.
That's right.
And I'm going to do my best tomorrow. Amen. Point number three, commitment to the master.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 31. Amen. Let's go back to our original text here. Numbers chapter 31. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
I know God is working. And God is working through the Scriptures. You know, so many people, you know, you talk about being useful to the master. There's a lot of people that go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every revival that they have, and they still don't feel the power of God. There was a survey done by the Barna Research Group that said 90% of people that go to churches today haven't felt God's presence in the last year. And anyway, he was making the reference that most people stay there for relationships, not convictions.
They stay
there for relationships.
Wow. Right.
Guys, how many people out there don't feel God's presence, but you can help them? But you're the only one that can help them. I'm not going to see him in my class. I'm not going to see him on my train. God wants you. Numbers 31. Verse 13, let's pick up here. Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the community. So you guys remember what happened? They went to war, and they had destroyed everything, except for a few things, and now they were coming back from the journey. Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the community went to meet them outside the camp. Moses was angry with the officers of the army, the commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, who returned from the battle. Have you allowed the women to live? He asked them. They were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and were the means of turning the Israelites away from the Lord and what happened at Peor, so that a plague struck the people. Now kill all the boys and kill every woman who slept with a man, but save for yourselves every girl who's never slept with a man. What's happening here? First of all, what's happening here is the Old Testament law was that if someone slept, there was an adulterer and an adulteress, they both would be killed. And so technically what the Israelites were doing was killing all the adulterers, but not the adulteresses. A lot of us look, oh man, wow, how can we save certain people? Because the command of God was that they both be killed.
Yeah.
And they were, one, they still have wicked hearts, and so they wanted to bring back the women for themselves.
Right.
Wow.
And God said, no, anyone who does this is to be put to death.
Yeah.
Anyone who does this. And so, Moses was ticked off. You know, he comes out. This was a public victory. Hey, we have public victories, guys. Yeah. When you have a victory, shout to the Lord about it. Yeah. Shout to me about it, man. I'm fired up to hear this story, man. You know, I'll be out there sharing. Someone tells me, you're a jerk. Okay, you know. I need you guys' encouragement, you know. Yeah. I know you need my encouragement. And we got to share those things publicly. And we got to encourage each other with things we're doing for God. On the other hand, we look here at this passage and we see totally that Moses, he comes out, he's old, right? And so this guy, Moses is pretty old at this point, he's about to die. And so him being that old, Eleazar, the priest, all the leaders, they come out to greet Phinehas and the army. And wouldn't that have been incredible to come back and then Moses comes, come here.
Now, let me tell you something. You did a couple things wrong. You know what I mean? Had a little D time right there when they got back, you know? We got to have a little D time sometimes. Man, we got to have those victories and God's working. But let me tell you a little bit, you know, how you can work a little bit better. Amen? And so we see here, he says, you've got to have a commitment to purge all the evil.
Yeah.
Guys, there's a total commitment to purge everything. You know, guys, you gotta have a commitment. I want to talk about three types of commitment you gotta have tonight.
Amen.
Come on, Vinny.
Commitment number one: commit to God's plan and not yours. Proverbs chapter 16.
Amen.
Proverbs 16. You know, some of you guys know the scripture, but you know, sometimes it's just good to turn to the scriptures. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
And so, Proverbs chapter 16 here says a scripture that I would urge you to memorize. I would urge you to memorize. Yeah, I said memorize. Memorize, man.
Amen.
Some of you guys
Amen.
Are Spanish, memorizing. Some of you guys kind of memorizing your language or math or whatever. You got to memorize the scripture too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Guys, you remember the first point when we talked about your interest should be God's interest? Well, if they are, they succeed because God's interests always succeed. Does that make sense? So you are with God. You're going after God's interests. And God's going after your interests. But both your interests are the same. So they always succeed. You know what I'm talking about? So you never go wrong with that.
When you're connected with God, and that's what it takes, guys. It takes being useful to the Master. It takes the same heart that God has. And the Bible promises if you'll commit your ways to the Lord. If you're here tonight and you have not committed your way to the Lord, you need to do it tonight.
Yeah.
You need to make that decision tonight. The total commitment to God's Word. That total commitment to His will, His ways, and His power, not yours.
Amen.
Commitment to each other. Second one. Commitment to each other. Guys, it's a tough world out there. Well, maybe you guys' world isn't tough. My world's tough. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to sound powerful, but I think God's thing just hits me a lot, man. And maybe I'm a wuss or something, man. But it's tough out there, man. You know? I got homework. You know? And I got people telling me off. You know? Get out of my face, dude. I'm not a Christian. Whatever, dude. You know? I'm staying by with the party guys. You know? They're... On one hand, like, oh yeah, the scripture's been helping me out, man. But dude, I had an awesome party last weekend. Oh, it's great, you know. Oh, we got some work to do here, and then you know,
guys, the day gets hard.
Yeah.
And if your day's not hard, you got to check yourself.
Yeah.
If the day's hard, guys, we need each other.
Yeah.
You got to be committed to each other. When you're first committed to God, then God says, you need to gather together with those who call out on the Lord out of pure hearts.
Yes,
that's right.
And guys, I want to be unified with each one of you. I hope you want to be unified with everyone in this room.
Yes.
I hope you're here, not just because, well, I just kind of want to check things out. I want to commit my ways to God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yep.
Third commitment. Committed to defending the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a hot scripture here, guys. Check this scripture out. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Committed to defending the truth.
Come on. Don't have any.
2 Corinthians 10.
This is awesome.
Verse 1. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away.
I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Wow. Okay, this has got something in it that I'm not catching here, right? Okay. So you read this passage, and you got to be committed to defending the truth. You know, it's so cool here because he says, at first he's talking about by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I want to talk to you. You know what I mean? So they're saying, man, why are you so bold when you're far away? Well, let me talk to you in the meekness and gentleness of Christ here. We demolish arguments. Like, man, you know? This is awesome, man. Paul's got such a personality, right? But you see this passage and you guys go, wow, this is talking about something deep. This is talking about spiritual warfare. First of all, he explains demonic strongholds. Demonic strongholds, it talks about are accepting the lies that allow Satan to harass us. Right. You know, behind every sin, there's a lie. Yeah. There's a lie. Whether it be, this sin will really fulfill me if I do it right now. God doesn't know what He's doing. There's a lie of, there's tons of them here, guys. You know, it could be, everyone leaves me, so I'm not going to really commit to the person on my right or my left.
Yeah.
Could be pornography, you know, this is a way I ought to look at a woman or look at a man. Could be, there's hundreds of things out there, guys. There's hundreds of lies. And Satan just packs it up in a nice little package and gives it to you, and you go, oh, okay, I'll go do that.
That's right.
You know? And there's lies. And he said, the Bible says these are demonic strongholds.
Yeah.
Why are they strongholds? Because they're points of attack Satan has now.
Right.
Now he's got his feet dug in when he's got that lie in your heart. Now it's time. Now I can defend myself. Now I got that brother. Now I got that sister. And he digs his feet in. And you know what Paul says? He says, you and I have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's why you guys are not. Divine power to demolish strongholds. We're not talking about physical strongholds, which can be defeated easily. We're talking about mental strongholds that have divine power. We're talking about God gives you the ability to persuade and change people's hearts, which is maybe some of the hardest things to change.
Yep.
Anybody can destroy something physical.
True.
It's hard to persuade. Yeah. It is hard to get in someone's heart. It is hard to do those things. And you know what God says? I've given you power to demolish those things.
Amen.
Every imagination, every thought, every pretense, every single claim that people make up, I've given you power to destroy it. And so you got to be committed to defending the truth and using that power. You know, when you're committed to using that power, God grabs for you.
Man.
When the enemy comes, I got just the right person for this. Let me grab Gary. All right, baby. Right? You know? Oh, yeah. Chris. Here we go. You want some of this? You know, he gets fired up to use every one of us. He gets fired up. But we've got to have a commitment to His heart because He's got the commitment to us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bro, that's right.
And when we have that spirit, guys, it is incredible. You know, guys, I let me just be up. I've been one of the lies that I think Satan's put in my heart before, and he can still put in my heart, and I'll just be open with you guys, is insecurity, you know? I can be very insecure. I can think that, you know, I never met my dad. And so a lot of, I think a lot of sins that I do, you know, come from a desire to want to feel secure in other people's minds, want to feel appreciated in other people's minds. The pride can come off and I just want to be, I want to be loved, you know. And, you know, that's a lie. Nobody believes in me. God believes in me.
That's right.
He does, and that's all I need. That's all I should need.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Satan used opportunities and life-changing events to put lies in my heart. And guys,
I need other people. I still need other people's help to get those lies out of my heart. But if you're prideful and you don't let other people get those lies out of your heart, you're going to be rusty for the rest of your life.
That's right, bro.
You're never going to be used by God. You're going to feel hopeless and faithless if you won't let someone else get in there and grab that lie. Let me help you. Let me smash that with the truth. Guys, if you can do that, if you can let someone else operate and get into your life, God is going to have the victory. You know, the Bible says we have divine power to demolish strongholds. What's the weapons of righteousness God has given us?
The truth, first of all.
We have the truth. I mean, that's pretty doggone good, man. Anytime someone says something, you go, well, I know the truth, dude. So you don't. You know, I mean, they could have some argument. It says these arguments set themselves up against God. They are the knowledge that is not knowledge. They are the knowledge that puffs people up, that makes them think, I'm okay, I got this, I don't need God. True knowledge makes men humble. It humbles them because they know how far away they are from God. But knowledge, in a worldly sense, puffs people up. And they defend themselves with it. And you know what the truth does? It smashes that. It smashes their ideas. It smashes their imagination. And it smashes their claims. Persuasion is another tool He's given us. When you can persuade someone to change with the truth, with your love, with your life, let me tell you something. That's powerful. One more weapon that a lot of people don't use is humility. Humility. You know, it's so cool because humility is so incredible because if you're humble with someone, they can have the most belligerent comments back to you and you're just humble, they're still ticked off. You know what I mean? But if you've ever been super humble and someone else has been ticked off, it almost is like a weapon against them. Like, they don't know what to do. Like, what do you do with someone humble? Yell at them some more? Man. Whatever, man. Stupid, you know? When you're humble, guys, seriously, when you are humble, God works. Humility means one who does not press for his rights or her rights.
That's right.
Humility is not, I get, defending my honor. Remember that, guys? Humility is not defending my honor. I defend my honor a lot and how I look, guys. We can't do that. You gotta have total commitment to demolishing arguments. Three steps to spiritual warfare.
All right.
One, demolish that which opposes God. That's what you're doing when you're sharing your faith. Excuse me. That's what you're doing when you're sharing your faith. You're demolishing that which opposes God. And you're talking to them, and they say something, you go, bam, that's not the truth. Bam, that's not the truth. Because I know the Bible says differently. And what you're doing, you're finding ways to demolish Satan's stronghold in people's lives. Second thing you do, you take captive every thought or reason or faculty. You take care of every thought and you take it captive. What does that mean? You're taking that thought and you're taking away its power. And you're saying, oh, you think you're the boss of everything. Let me first of all demolish it. And then let me take it. I'm going to take it, I'm going to bring it to a place where it's, number three, obedient to Christ.
Come on!
And we know many things are not obedient to Christ. Guys, when you do that, and you're committed to that, God is going to use you. And I hope you know that today. I hope you know that when you're pure before God, and your purity, you have absolute purity for the Master, you're going to be used. When you're zealous for the Master, you're going to be used. And when you're committed to the Master, He's going to use you. You know, we look back in the other passage in 2 Timothy, and we see God wants to use each one of us. God wants to use you. He does. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to be used by God? Are you ready to have the zeal in the small things and now the big things?
Amen.
Or is zeal in the little things hard? How's the singing today? How's your singing? Were you just kind of looking around? I'm ready for this thing to get over. You got to be zealous in the small things, guys. You got to be zealous in the small things. You got to be, you know, you got to be there on time. You got to be zealous for God. Let me read you guys a poem and we'll end with this. You know, I wrote it myself. No, I'm just kidding. I wrote it myself, so friend off the internet. No, anyway. So, you know, let me read this to you guys, and I hope this puts it in a little bit different way. The master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf there were many. Which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value, and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, master, gold would be the best. The master passed on with no word at all. He looked at a silver urn, narrow and tall. I'll serve you, dear master. I'll pour out your wine. And I'll be at your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carving so true, and my silver will always compliment you. Unheeding, the master passed on to the brass. It was wide-mouthed and shallow, and polished like glass. Hear, hear, cried the vessel, I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view. Look at me, called the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my conscience so dear. Though fragile I am, I will serve you with pride, and I'm sure I'll be happy in your house to abide. The master came next to the vessel of wood. Polished and carved, it solidly stood. You may use me, dear master, the wooden bowl said, but I'd rather you use me for fruit, not for bread. Then the master looked down and saw a vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I will mend and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor the one who's big mouth and shallow and loud, nor the one who displays his content so proud, not the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but the plain earthly vessel filled with my power and might. Then he gently lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it and filled it that day, spoke to it kindly, there's work you must do, just pour out to others as I pour into you.
Wow, amen, yeah!
You know, guys. You know, guys. You want to be useful to the master tonight? Guys, you got to commit to God all the way. God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your life. And He wants you to have impact.
Yeah.
Guys, let's do it for God, and let's do it for the kingdom.